Good afternoon. God bless wherever you are today. Thank you so much for gathering around this table with us. Even though you're not with us, you are gathered with us as you're listening, maybe driving, maybe walking, maybe at home relaxing, wherever you may be across the world. And we thank God for your lives wherever you may be today. Today we are in the world of the persecuted church, the suffering church, the body of Christ that is really being persecuted. Very scriptural, and we are living in very significant times to persecution across the world. We are starting to see glimmers within the UK through policies and through things coming out of Parliament against believers in Christ Jesus. But today we have our lovely sister with us. We got Sandra, and Sandra has been in this ministry for a number of years. She has got a clear calling on her life, and we thank God for Sandra. Sandra, it's lovely to have you back with us again.
Hello. Yes, it's been a little while, hasn't it?
It has. It's been a bit of a gap, but
yeah,
we are back.
I was busy teaching some children for a little while their teacher was away.
As you do for a living.
I've enjoyed it, but I've missed doing this.
Of course. It's good to have you back with us. Now, Sandra, we are coming up to the obviously the Christmas period, and it's the first time that we've gathered around the mics together for a good few weeks.
Yeah.
But you have a very interesting subject that's been put before you, and mm-hmm. the title is Sparkling Hope for the Persecuted Children.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, last time we were talking about the church under pressure. And a lot of things were said about how they're trying to stop children from hearing the gospel. But there are children who are part of families that are being persecuted. And, you know, so at this time of Christmas, it can be a very difficult time.
Yes.
But as anything, we find that God is at work. And that the different organisations, God shows them how they can support. And there are some great testimonies and some great feedback about things that we've prayed for last year. If you remember last year, we talked about the children and about the children's centres that are particularly in Latin America. And I was just looking in my prayer notes for Open Doors, and it said over 400 children have graduated from the Children's Centre, which provides education and spiritual support for children affected by persecution. Finding ways to empower students in their faith and witness is a challenge because of the risk it can entail. Pray for the teachers that they will be given wisdom in this area. But 400 children have been kept safe. Because as we said before, there's like these organisations, you know, drug related other, that like to try and draw them into these awful gangs. And particularly they look out for Christian children, as particularly pastors' children they want, because they want to disrupt things and cause mayhem. Yeah. And so we had a story about a lad who was in that predicament and how this centre had come to his aid. And so unfortunately he had to leave his family home, but he could be safe at this centre he would... And then be, you know, educated and also given the gospel, and that he wants to now be a pastor himself. That was one, wasn't it? And then there was another two children, their father being killed, hadn't he? And they were looking forward to Christmas because they could go there and they could celebrate Christmas, and they did a big poster for them, I remember. And, you know, and that was like their first Christmas without their dad, and they made it really special. And, of course, last year we had the problem that is COVID, so they weren't able to do the parties and things. But I think this year they have been able to do some of it. There were things in India they were doing and different places. So, anyway, that gives you a flavour. So, how are children persecuted? Well, they're persecuted through their family. Sometimes they are persecuted themselves. They experience, you know, sort of taunting, ostracism at school. They're told, no, you can't, you're a Christian, go over there, you don't belong with us. They're put at the back of the class. especially in Egypt. So the teachers, you know, and they're made to you know, the Muslim prayers and things. If they can't say them properly, then they're, you know, told they won't get their grades and all these things. And so different organisations provide in different ways so that the children can have a Christian upbringing. So, for example, Barnabas, they set up schools in certain areas so that the children can learn. And as we've heard about the brick kiln people, they were being pressured into, you know, having to work all the time, and the children just having no opportunities, no education, nothing. And so, again, we supported that, and lots of children are now receiving an education, a basic Praise education, God. And some of them want to be nurses, doctors, and other things, and that's going to bless people, isn't it? And that's the shame that I think, you know, the religion and the spirit blinds them to the actual benefits that these young people want to help their communities. They want to be a blessing to their communities. They don't want to be a harm, but people get that idea that, you know, because they're not like them and they don't do what their village do or whatever it is, that, you know, they can't be good. And that's such a sad thing. But another way is that their dads are in prison. Sometimes they have been murdered or martyred, as in Nigeria. There's a lot of that, you know, unfortunately has happened. In Iran, Iraq, they're killed, they're kidnapped. In Egypt, the same thing. You know, in China, mostly prison, or they disappear. So there are lots of children in this world who are without a dad this Christmas for one reason or another. And sadly, some of them lost mums as well through different attacks. And so why? Well, they do it to cause pain, to cause hurt, to shake the faith of believers, and to shape particularly the children, because they're the ones that, you know, they're just starting off, aren't they? And they're just sort of getting to know. Mm-hmm. And they think, well, how can, you know, believing in Jesus be a good thing? You know, my dad's just been taken away and, you know, he's been killed and things. So there's a lot of need for support and trauma counselling, which I'm going to mention about. And, yeah, so it's to stop them believing. It's to stop the future church, basically. So, but our Father is at work in the heart of these children, as we're going to see in some of the things I'm going to bring, the testimonies that that are in this Open Doors magazine. And
so, Sandra, when we look at the persecuted church, and we've spent hours and months and podcast after podcast throughout the year, and just discussing the persecuted Christian, it's always been about, or the majority has been about, the adult, the parent. But we can almost not brush aside, but the children's lives are just destroyed, aren't they? Destroyed from such an early young age, when if their parent is a pastor and the pastor is hunted down and they're removed off planet Earth, or they're imprisoned, the effect this has on a young child is catastrophic, isn't it? The effect that they've lost mum, dad, brother, sister, or they've been ostracized, they've been taken out of their school, as you said, in Egypt and certain other cultures where they are completely ostracized.
Yeah.
And they are, so a child, you know, we've done lots of podcasts on the persecuted church, the adult, I'll say the adult. But when you brought this about a child, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this is really brutal, isn't it? But there's hope.
But there's hope. Yeah.
You know, sparkles of hope that these centres have been set up, haven't they? We've looked at that before, haven't we, where the centres have been set up. And then I've got an image that has stuck in my mind that I see not long ago about that young, one of the young children that jumped off of that dinghy that was on the shoreline of the UK. You know, these young children, what the trauma they go through. The trauma that they experience that will hang and sit in their psychologicals, will sit in their mind, will sit in their heart, and it will affect them, what they see at such an early age.
Yeah, some of them see terrible things.
So prayer is key here, isn't it? For anyone that's listening, and a lot of people do listen to these Persecuted Church podcasts, we've always pushed the skin of the drum of the adult, but I do believe that we really need to bring the children before the Lord and just, you know, especially these asylum seekers and these refugees that you see coming across as well, coming across to the nation, across the channel. But when there is always hope, Sandra, isn't there?
Yes.
There's always hope, and prayer is a key. So this is quite a heavy. Well, when I say heavy, it's not heavy, but as soon as you start mentioning children, you think, oh, hang on a moment. But there's hope.
Yeah.
Sandra's got some good stuff with us.
Jesus said, you know, let the children come to me, do not hinder them. And, you know, and they are precious. And as you say, they are the future church.
Amen.
And so one thing, we mentioned it last time, was that millions of children around the world face violence, discrimination, bereavement, because they or their parents are Christians. This has, as you were just saying, that has a huge impact on their faith and self-esteem. And so we pray for Open Doors partners and others who are investing in these children through Christian education, trauma care and schooling to ensure a better future for them and long-term survival of the church. So this is a little girl here that I'm going to talk about, and she's actually from Iraq, and we might forget Iraq, that, you know, terrible things went on there, and I think they have, well, I'm not sure, but anyway, there are some bomb attacks and things, sporadic things, but this was a bomb attack a little while ago. And basically her mum was expecting this little girl at the time, and her dad noticed that there was something underneath a Christian student's bus. So it was full of Christian students, and he happened to be going down the road, and he, a Christian himself, he saw that there was something under the bus and immediately thought it's a bomb. So he shouted to everybody to get off the bus.
Yeah.
And I don't, anyway, but he was killed in the bomb, in the attack.
Oh my gosh.
So he saved lots of lives, but was killed himself. And then a few months later, Rafith was born. Yeah. She's now 11, and she never got to meet her dad. She's one of many Christian children across the world suffering the long-term effects of persecution and these sort of things. Because we know there was the bomb attack at Christmas of a church and at Easter and in other places. So this is an example so that we can think about other things. And she says, I miss my dad, especially when I hear my friends say, my dad did this with me and my dad brought me that. It's the hardest of all at Christmas, a time when I would like him to be there and there's an empty chair at the table. And she says, Rafi does something special to help her remember him. They create a nativity scene out of paper mache, complete with figures representing Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. And she says, and then they light a candle in remembrance of him.
It's a great story. You know, we're looking on Open Doors. Sandra has the paperback version that still exists. Paper does exist, but I'm online at this moment, and this is so easy to find. You know, just type in Spark of Hope, for the persecuted children this Christmas, and you will find this story of Rafi, and it's got a great picture. It's got a great picture there on this website of Open Doors. Fantastic picture of hope. You know, a candle is so powerful.
Mm.
And there we have, you know, and this full story is before you. They've got a video there so you can link into this. It tells about missing my dad at Christmas, and then it goes on with a little bit more. So we would encourage anyone to always to go on to the sites or to put yourself on the mailing list and have a look and have a read of all this stuff that comes through. It's easy accessible, is easy access, so you can grab this wherever you may be. Sandra, there's always hope. Look at that lovely picture.
Yeah, so she says that, and they are saying that she, you know, because of all the things that have gone on, there's not been long-term education, but open doors. Sparkling Hope at last. Open Doors believes that every child persecuted for their faith should be protected, provided for and strengthened to ensure a better future for them and a long-term survival of the church. Rafi loves the Christian education classes that she gets from Open Doors partners in Iraq. The thing I like most is that we learn about God.
Amen. See?
And she says, the second thing I like is that we learn new stories. My favourite Bible story is the one with Noah and the rainbow, with all the animals. And the thing I like most about it is the rainbow. Rafi is still a young child, but she sees that the most beautiful thing about the story of Noah is God's powerful promise in the rainbow, the sign of the covenant God established in Genesis 9. And Rafi also loves hearing the Christmas story. And elsewhere she sees how her dad is like a biblical hero of faith. She says she saw people in the Bible who gave their lives, and that reminds her that her dad is like, they've said, like, Acts.
Yeah.
The Acts carries on, and he is part of that
story. He's part of that story.
Yeah. So I thought that was really lovely. And then we've got Sele from Nigeria.
Yeah.
He's 13 years old.
Look at that face. Look at that beautiful. He's got a, we're looking at this young guy, this young man. I wouldn't like to put, oh, there he is. He says there, 13 years old.
Yeah.
Sele of Nigeria. Again, online story. Exactly the same what Sandra was looking at, but the online version. Tells us now of this young man. He's got a beaming face. And I've always said this to Sandra, and Sandra, we've always discussed this. That in the world of the persecuted church, there is something so powerful about their smile. Even though they're hard-pressed, even though they've got everything coming against them, their eyes display light that you can see their smile. And this young man has got a Christmas tree in the backdrop with all the tinsel all upon it and the lights and all that. He's smiling away there.
Yeah, but, and that's a party that, you know, as I say, is being held by these partners. And he's got a little, the little thing that really touched me was this. He's holding up a piece of paper. It says, "Thank you for sending me to school.
Wow.
Have a blessed Christmas." So basically supporters, you know, who have supported this project that Open Doors have been doing, you've enabled him and others like him to be able to go to school and go to these special events to help him and encourage him and show him how much he's loved and how much he's special. And I thought that was lovely that he's thanking people out of all the trauma and everything. "Thank you for sending me to school. Have a blessed Christmas," he says. And you know, this is the thing, you know, the just such faith and, you know, how much testimony that is, you know, and that's what I love about it. And he says, "I love my school teachers teaching me very well, and they help me to become what I want to be." He would like to be a doctor.
Yeah, how lovely.
So
how encouraging, you know, to hear such wise and such loving words from such a young man. But just backing up the track from Sandra, what she's reading, that he never knew his dad, it says there. He never knew his dad. His dad was murdered. His father was shot for being a Christian in a region that they faced kidnapping and murdering and everything that was happening by Islamic extremists, as we are very aware of what they do there. And it says there, "I never knew my dad. I never knew my dad." So there must be thousands upon thousands of young boys and girls that don't know their fathers, and as Sandra said, don't even know their mothers, have been taken off the earth by extremists. And we pray that God will have mercy on your soul. But there's always hope.
Yeah, so one thing they're saying is about these Bible classes, that keeps coming up, and this was it, like a prayer for North Africa as well, and they had the Ephesians 6:4, which is, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And they're saying, you know, we should pray that they will be equipped parents to bring up their children in training and instruction of the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, scripture all the way through, the foundation of our life. Scripture, scripture, scripture. But as someone here in the West, and wherever you may be in your life, and you may feel that God is calling you to support the world of the persecuted church, and prayer is number one. But if you go on to Open Doors or any of the sites, it tells you how to get involved. It tells you all their social feeds. It shows you links. It shows you ways to get in. Very easy to find. Yeah. You can sponsor a family. You can get resources for your church online. You can you got stuff there to share with children, support and encouragement for Christians. And you've got to take a look at the daily prayer diary. There's so much on Open Doors.
Yeah.
Very easy site. It's just opendoors.org. opendoorsuk.org. So there's a lot in there. And great stories.
And there's a lovely thing at the moment, Be an Angel this Christmas. So this is a current thing, so you can get involved, still get involved with this for Christmas. You can send a message of encouragement to children like who we just talked about as part of the Do Not Be Afraid Open Doors resources. And they're encouraging families and children's groups to decorate an angel with a message of hope or a picture. Send your angels and they will be made into bunting to decorate places where children's groups meet.
There's
lots of ways to get involved. It doesn't have to be financial.
That's right.
So yes, sending messages, cards, it's just, you know, there's just such an encouragement.
Yeah, card sending, that's a great thing to do, isn't it? Encouraging the families, and also on the site, it gives you some real clear pictures of what's happening. And it says there are over 340 million Christians suffering persecution and discrimination. They follow Jesus no matter what the cost. With your help, we can bring them resources and hope. Tells you how to get involved, and you've got the stories that we're talking about, and also invite your MP. There's an interest to get into
the
that as well.
Thing, yeah.
That's very important.
That's the new World Watch List is being launched in January.
It is.
And so they're encouraging us to email our MPs to get them to come along. They've got 96 down so far that say they will go.
A good number. So just on that, Sandra, just before we carry on with what you got there, Sandra mentioned the World Watch List, and I'm just looking at the top five ranking: North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, and Pakistan.
Yeah.
So five areas of prayer. You can get all this information. You can choose a country, a nation that you want to support, or however that may be. And it's real easy information to find about this persecution, what's happening across the globe. Very clear map, everything's well laid out, you can see it. It's good, clean, clear information. So if you feel God is calling to you to support, as Sandra said, it's not just always finances, you know. It's prayer, it's giving out the literature, it's speaking about it, it's making people in your church aware of what's happening, you know, because the UK church is very, very thin in this subject. I know there are a few, but I've got to say it's very, very thin. Maybe it's a subject that we don't want to face. Maybe we don't actually know what the true meaning, why the church within the UK is not pressing this persecution like we should do. Maybe it's because we're comfortable and we don't want to look into that, whatever your reason that may be. But I pray that God will guide you to that. But also, we can find out so much about children, because we know that they're the next generation. They are the church. They're the next pastors. They're the next leaders in these nations that are having and seeing discrimination and fear and everything that's coming against them. So, brothers and sisters, the world, wherever you are listening to this, we got to get on board. You know, it's important that we get on board. Pray for Afghanistan as well.
Yes, I'm just looking at that. Yes, yeah. Because there was a real personal plea from a secret believer that's come through through Open Doors partnerships and things, and it just says, you know, and this person is related. You know, we talked about the baby girl who was born and how that was a thing of hope.
That was hope.
It's the husband is saying that he said it is still a nightmare. The night the Taliban took up control, I felt someone stepped into my memories and tried to snuff them out. And he says there's a list being circulated. People have been killed, kidnapped, disappeared. It's like a massive cataclysmic explosion has occurred.
Big word.
And he says, we need you to ask God on our behalf. We need to know that you are strong for us. Everyone seems to have forgotten God. This is very frightening. We feel disorientated. We feel alone. We cannot speak to our God, but you can. So speak to him and ask him to empower you and us to fight this era of destructiveness and bring his kingdom by being like him. If you love us, please pray for us. That's a bit, you know,
If
you love us, please pray for us. Yeah.
That's a choker.
Yeah.
That really grabs you. That really grabs you around the vocal cords, that one. That can bring a tear to your eye. If you love us, please pray. How easy is it just to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bring all these nations, we bring everybody before you that are in the world of the persecuted church, and Lord, just bless them.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't need to be ours. It doesn't need to be a hard press like the Christ says in the scripture. Don't be like the pagans. Don't be like those that babble and waffle on. Don't be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees on the street corners. You know, when you pray, just say, Our Father in heaven. So it can be so simple, you know. Father in heaven, we ask you now that you'll bless the children in Afghanistan. Bless the children in South Korea. Bless the children within the world of the persecuted church. And Father, we believe that you are setting those young children free, that you are their rock. You are their refuge. You know, prayer doesn't need to be this elongated hour upon hour. You know, God knows our heart. And as that testimony, that word has come from Sandra that she read out, if you love us, please pray.
Mm.
Prayer is power. Prayer is needed.
Mm.
And we are seeing prayer is changing people very, very quickly and very, very easily in the world of the persecuted church.
Yeah, this is a testimony from Central Asia. In some Central Asian countries, it is illegal to share the gospel with children under 18. Ania has been secretly going to a house church for 2 years. Recently, my mother found out about the church, that I sing, read the Bible, pray, and meet other young believers. She forbade me to leave on Saturdays and Sundays. Could you please pray for me that my mother will give me permission to attend the church again? Thank you for your prayers. So she must be under 18 and come to finding out about this house church, and she's been going there for 2 years, and now her mum's found out about it. But isn't that exciting? That, you know, I know it's tricky for her, I appreciate that. But like we're saying, God is calling the children. Yeah. God is calling the young people. God is speaking to them. Irrespective of all these things, it's like listening to this thing about China. You know, again, China, they're trying to ban under 18s from attending church meetings. Yet they are meeting in different ways.
That's right.
And
you can't stop the kingdom of God, Sandra.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Look, we've experienced that. We've experienced that.
Pray
here.
That the Chinese pastors grasp the enormity of the threat, as well as the opportunity to sow faith into the next generation of Chinese believers.
Yeah, yeah. Look,
because again, it's in pockets. You know, some places haven't, you know, they haven't managed to infiltrate, but lots of churches have been, you know, they've been shut down, or they've got the cameras, or the, you know, doing different things and taking pastors away if they've got a big a lot of a following.
I think what's important to understand that the kingdom of God cannot and will never ever be stopped by human hands, by any government, by any persecuting government, by any leader, by anybody. Even when Boris turned the key on the church within the UK, the kingdom of God was still active and moving. We don't need the building, we don't need the structure, because that is in a very dangerous area of religion. But God is God.
Yeah.
And the kingdom of God is so far and greater from any religious organization. So when we hear that churches are being flattened in Iran, like we know, they're being flattened, they're being bulldozed, the kingdom of God is still growing. China, the exact same. The kingdom of God is growing. You can drop the structure. You can smash the signs up. You can do whatever you're going to do. You can burn the churches. But the kingdom of God is moving.
Yes.
That is so rich in thought when you think about that.
Yeah.
So brothers and sisters, you know, don't worry about what governments are doing to the buildings. They can do what they want to the buildings, but they can't. There's nothing, the scripture says, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You know, nothing, you know, nothing. I know buildings are important, but I do believe within the UK, we put too much weight within a building or on the building through tradition. And buildings are important, but what we've got to just remember in this subject that we are looking at when we are talking about buildings, the majority of the Christian church is in someone's front room, is the underground church, is sitting around a tree, is gathering in a place of safety. Their churches, as we know them in the West, these churches are flattened. They are gone, but they are still meeting with God.
Yeah. And I think people have been surprised how many Christians there are in Afghanistan, because there wasn't meant to be anything there.
There wasn't meant to
and
be
it's
anything.
It's only because of what's happened that it's suddenly become more apparent. What is there? But I mean, there are so many, you know, prayer points here. I'm just looking. I mean, because this whole thing was sort of dedicated to the children, but even this week there are prayer points. Some very difficult, some, you know, encouraging, you know, just testimonies of children, what they're going through. 9 years old, Central Asia, Ivan was severely bullied at a sports camp where he was the only Christian. He was beaten every day by other boys but did not deny his faith. Since returning home, he's had headaches and dizziness every day, and they say he might not be able to play sports again. And just to pray for him, for his physical and emotional recovery. But the thing about it is, he didn't deny his faith.
No,
he's 9 years old.
He did not deny. Did not reject Jesus.
And okay, it's terrible, but you know, it's because of what they've been told by their parents that they behaved in this way and treated him this way. But God can still work in that because of the persecutors.
Amen.
You think about Paul again.
Yes.
These are little Pauls.
Yeah,
who are doing something
little Pauls
because they think it's the right thing to do. But wow, you know, doesn't that speak something? This
massive
boy did not. This Jesus must be somebody special because
they did not
little,
swerve.
Yeah, my this guy, pupil or fellow, you know, child or I don't know, anyway, person on the in the sports camp didn't behave the same way, and he's you know, Jesus is so special to him that he was prepared to go through that.
It comes to a personal relationship. See, that's what Christ does, doesn't he? He strengthens you. He gives you endurance. He gives you the capabilities through his supernatural presence to be able to stand and be still and know that he's God and be able to speak up.
Yes, but also, like it says, like with Timothy, I'm thinking of his age, 9, and that's around the time that, you know, there is that spiritual awareness, and I'm just thinking, wow, all those, like, that age or younger, all those young, you know, young Christians who in themselves are being a testimony, in themselves are standing for Jesus, in themselves are giving the gospel.
Just
you
by
know?
Saying,
we don't really think about that.
I belong to Jesus.
Yeah.
Christ belongs to me.
But it's their own. It's not like They are children who are born, they're not children who've been brought up in a Christian home.
No.
They have the faith themselves. But there are many children in this country whose parents are Christian.
That's right.
But are they, have they got a relationship themselves at that age in such a way that they could do that?
To actually do that. And then that comes on to adults as well. But when you look at the power of salvation, it is a gift from God.
Yeah.
And, you know, such early ages that we are looking at, such young children are warriors. They're warriors in the wasteland. They're beacons of light. They are power. They are the authority. God is giving them strength. He endures, and he is enabling them to endure. Mm-hmm. He has given them the gift of salvation. The seed of faith has been given. So they are able to stand there, not because because they've been brought up in that Christian household, completely the opposite, in a world religion, in an extremist family, in a crazy setup. But they are warriors in the wilderness, standing for Christ,
finding faith themselves for themselves,
and they're believing.
That's the amazing thing.
I'm looking at a picture of Afghanistan, and it looks like a wilderness. It looks barren. You've got a few tufts of bushes and grass, and you got some things going on in the background there. But you know, we got to pray for those in Afghanistan. There's a lot happening there.
Yeah,
there's a lot happening.
Yeah,
it's really needed a prayer chain. We need to get involved, and it tells us how we can do that. There's so much we can do as a believer within the West without actually going over there, because automatically we think, well, I can't get out over there. I'm not a missionary. I haven't got the funds. I'm too worried about traveling. I can't do this. I can't do that. But the power of prayer transcends the physical movement of anybody. You can be on the other side of the planet and you can pray for someone on the other side. And you know what? God answers prayer. So we don't need to put the missionary clothes on and to jump on the plane and to go out there. It's just being in your home, being wherever you are, and saying, Father, we bring Afghanistan before you now, the children, the refugees, the parents, whatever, however you feel led to pray, and say, thank you, Jesus. So you can be that mission. You can be that missionary. You can be that warrior in prayer for our brothers and sisters that we won't never see on planet Earth. But the power of prayer, you know, they need your prayers. They need our prayers. This is really important because we are in the last days, and this is really critical. We must pray for the children. We must pray for the church. We must pray for the persecuted church. Sandra, we've only got 4 minutes.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. I mean, I was just looking at Pastor Lorenzo. I've been following him in Cuba. I mean, he was involved in a peaceful demonstration and ended up being put in jail, and now he's on charges, and he's looking at 10 years, and his trial is this week. And they were asking us to pray for him and to write to the consulate. And I was thinking about his children and what they've seen and how, you know, and just how it's affected them. So, yeah, things like that. I had a list of, like, prayer points here.
Yeah.
Praying for comfort, for strength, strong faith and hope. For widows, mums, to raise their children to know Jesus and to have that support from the community, because sometimes they can be shunned. Yeah. And particularly for Bibles, thank the Lord for all the Bibles that have got into the hands of children. So many Bibles have reached different places, and Bible resources, and what a difference they make. And thank God for all those who are teaching young people, encouraging, strengthening, being given wisdom, in the different ways. Remember, just thinking about Iraq again, and where that lady came to faith and God said, I want you to work with the children.
Amen.
And how many children she is nurturing, you know, a difficult situation, and the thinking about refugee camps and all these things. But we just thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as Jesus came as a little child who was vulnerable and you know, and just thinking of all these children at Christmas, and Lord, that we would do our, play our part to encourage and strengthen this generation, Lord, and thank you for their faith, and thank you for the stand that they are taking. Just thank you that we could bring all this today, and we just pray that those who are discouraged this time will be encouraged, Lord. They will know your arms of love around them in prayer. They will just feel that whatever they need, the comfort, the strength, the support, and you will do great things through them in these days, Lord. And and we are one family, the family of Christ, and you just thank you, Lord, for that. And so amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Sandra, the time has just gone so fast, but we thank you so much. You know, so simple, so simple. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes lives. You know, you've been listening to Sandra Robson and myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, as we've just explored, you know, the child at Christmas in the persecuted church. There is so much you can do. There is so much you can do. So I would applaud you, and I would eagerly ask you to get onto these websites. You know, Open Doors, simple to find, opendoorsuk.org, and just have a look at that site. Very powerful. You know, there's hope. May God bless you at this Christmas time, wherever you are across the world. We thank you so much for joining us over these weeks, over these months through lockdown, and as things are changing here within the UK, we need your prayers too. We need your prayers, you know.
Yeah.
May God bless you and strengthen you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We will catch you soon. Thank you to everybody on Buzzsprout, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all the places you catch these podcasts. Have a great evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Stay blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.